Anderson heaving one down the sideline, and he's got Cass Allen.
Listening to the Bruin Bible. This is your host, Will Decker, bringing you UCLA football content all throughout the year for LA Football Network.
Up, LAFB fans, you are listening to the Bruin Bible right now, but we want to bring to you our sponsor for the show. It's Bet Online. Our partners at Bet Online continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's Wimbledon finals. I know our guy Madman will be all over that. The big tennis fan of the bunch. Major League Baseball, Dodgers in the midst of a big-time season, highest payroll in the league, three MVPs in the lineup. Can they figure it out? The latest fighting news, a huge MMA fight coming up this weekend for the UFC, and even next season's early NFL futures. I know you guys will be hammering the Rams and Chargers overs on the futures for next season. Head to our website to use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LAFB to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. What is up and welcome to a brand new edition of the Bruin Bible. Your host, Will Decker, in the house. We have a fun one today. We just did the quarterback rankings last week for the Pac-12, who had the best quarterback rooms going into the 2022 football season. This week, we are going to be doing the running back spot and best running back rooms. And it's very similar to kind of what we did last time. You could have the best individual back in this conference, and we're going to get to that. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have the best running back room, the depth behind him. If someone were to get injured at these positions, it's about who are the guys that are going to be taking those studs places. And it's going to be really fun to kind of break down the top five. We got the honorable mentions like we did last week. So a lot of fun things going on here. And I think it would be fair to start with the teams that just missed the cut, kind of like what we did on the last episode. There are a couple teams that missed it. And I think some people, you know, our Colorado fan base out in Pac-12, you look at a guy like Alex Fontenot, nearly had a 1,000-yard season, you know, back in 2019. His production dipped a little bit, and I just think the depth behind him hasn't proven to be valuable. I mean, Alex Fontenot coming back from injury in the 2020 season, less than 400 yards on the ground, 3.5 yards a carry, that dipped from an over 5 yard per carry production. Can't have Colorado on this list. I don't think they are worthy of a top five spot. Next team I got for you that just missed the cut would be that of Washington. And Washington, they've got a nice little stable of backs. They have, you know, Aaron Dumas, who, you know, was a transfer last year from New Mexico. 647 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns from New Mexico. And they get Talapala, the running back from Virginia, who in his own right put together an impressive campaign, under 400 yards of rushing, but you know, they're expecting him to take a step forward there. You combine that with, you know, the potential of a guy like Richard Newton. That's a formidable running back room for the Pac-12, for the West Coast. But I think just because you have some of these depth guys, you got to have that one stud as well that puts you over the top. And they do not have that in Washington as of today. If one of those guys breaks out, the Dumas, you know, he almost had 700 yards rushing last year. Let's say he can get to that 1,000-yard mark. Maybe we revisit it at the end of the year and say Washington has the studs necessary to really make, you know, a pull towards that area. So Washington, another team on the outs for me. Cal is a team. Damian Moore. Damian Moore is a very talented running back for Cal. You know, 5+ yards a carry last year, 500+ yards on the ground. They're expecting him to take a big jump. The depth behind Moore, for my money, is not where it needs to be for a top contending running back room. So I think I have to kind of cast them to the side a little bit. And here's the most shocking team that did not make my top five, and that is the Oregon Ducks. And you guys are probably going, Will, what is a Pac-12 running back depth chart, like top five team list, without the likes of an Oregon Ducks. You know, when you think of the run game in the Pac-12, outside of maybe the USC's, Oregon historically the last 20-something years has had those running backs that have really taken, you know, that next step, even dating back to guys like LaMichael James, to Royce Freeman, you know, to even a guy we're going to get to later who transferred to a team within the conference in Travis Dye. But when you look at the depth that the Oregon Ducks have with a new coach coming in and Dan Lanning, we don't know how the running scheme is going to be. You know, this is a whole new system that they're going to be implementing into Oregon. And, you know, Byron Caldwell showed some serious flashes last year as a true freshman, highly recruited running back. Nearly got 400 yards on the ground last year. He's going to be complementing a running back room with Noah Whittington, who is a transfer from Western Kentucky. You know, he was a solid back at Western Kentucky, you know, less than 600 yards, but did some, you know, nice things there. When you combine both of those guys, neither of those guys yet are the stud that I think I would need to have a top five validation. So for me personally, I can't sit there and, you know, say we got to have these guys in the top five when I haven't seen the production pan out and with the new coaching staff and scheme that I mentioned previously. So Oregon was the closest to making the top five for the individual talent of Caldwell, but they are not on the list. And that's where we start to kind of get things that are a little interesting on this one. The number five team, and you're going to probably say, Will, the last statement you made about the Oregon Ducks, it really didn't align with what was going on with, you know, what your current Oregon State prediction is. But with Oregon State, I really believe this running back is going to be the breakout running back within the Pac-12. And I will say there's a solidified top three running backs within the Pac-12 that we will get to on the list. All three of these guys lead running back rooms that are ranked 1, 2, and 3 within conference for my rankings. Oregon State has a guy that I feel like if one of those guys were to get injured, if one of those guys had a dip in production this year, that this guy would step up and be that guy to elevate Oregon State into that conversation. And that's Deshaun Fenwick. Fenwick is a transfer from the SEC, played his first two seasons at South Carolina. He had a couple hundred-yard games, you know, while being a Gamecock. Comes over to Oregon State last year, and behind a guy like BJ Baylor, who had a ton of carries for the Oregon State Beavers, Fenwick made the most of his opportunity. 5.7 yards per carry last year for 448 yards on the ground and 4 touchdowns. And Fenwick has a body type that just makes it difficult to tackle. And this man is a massive, massive running back. Fenwick is 6'2". 230 pounds on the ground. So when you combine that with the speed and burst that he possesses, it makes it very hard to tackle a guy like that. And Oregon State smartly used him in a lot of, you know, goal line situations, red zone opportunities. I think that's going to open up a lot more as he's kind of the bell cow of the running back room now. So I'm expecting Fenwick to go for, you know, 1,100, 1,200 yards in an Oregon State offense that is going to be very productive anyways. When you look at the quarterback that we talked about last week, I said Chance Nolan might be the most underrated quarterback within the Pac-12. So when you have Chance Nolan there, you have two really good receivers on the outside, two transfers, one from Florida State, one from Nebraska, and Treshawn Harrison and Tyjon Lindsey, respectively. That's going to be an offense that's going to be putting up a lot of points, making plays. I have Oregon State as the sleeper in the Pac-12 North, especially with the Dan Lanning first year at Oregon, especially with the Washington with a new coach in their own right. I just believe that Oregon State has the ability to have a great offense, and Fenwick is going to be the bell cow there. But even if Fenwick is not, this is a depth conversation, right? Trey Lowe, the third string running back last year, he only had 56 attempts, but he really flashed 6.4 yards per carry attempt. He is in the mold of a, you know, a 5'9", 190-pound running back. So you kind of have a really nice thunder and lightning element when it comes to Oregon State, you know, with Fenwick and Lowe. I think this can be a very productive running back room, and I don't think it's getting talked about enough in preseason talk. So I do want to bring up that Oregon State, for me personally, if everything hits the way it should, they should be a top five running back room in the Pac-12 going into next season. the number four team we have, and it is Arizona State. Arizona State, you know, they were able to acquire a two-time 1,000-yard rusher in Zazavian Valaday, a transfer from Wyoming. He played for the Vandals. He had a lot of great opportunities, you know, elsewhere, but chose to come to Arizona State. Just the, you know, having a guy that has the experience as Zazavian Valaday has, and, you know, just the production he was able to put up. This guy has 626 carries to his name career-wise. This guy is very, very productive. 3,274 career rushing yards and 19 touchdowns. We go back to the year before the pandemic, 2019. You know, this guy almost had 1,300 yards on the ground. He was very, very productive. COVID season happens. He was still incredibly productive. They didn't play enough games for him to garner another 1,000-yard season. But had they played those games that a lot of them were, you know, canceled due to the COVID-19, Zazavian Valaday, this guy probably would have had three straight 1,000-yard rushing seasons going into his final year of eligibility at Arizona State. And I just love the experience. I love a tough runner like Zazavian Valaday. I implore people to go and look at the highlights with Valaday. He can really do some great things on the football field. And what you couple that with is Daniel Nagata, the backup running back, had some, you know, nice flashes of his own last year for Arizona State. He did some really nice things on the football field. And Nagata, 56 carries in his own right for 5.5 yards a carry, 323 yards on the ground. You know, he was very, very solid. And you have to cut, like, you know, add the fact that he was playing behind a running back that was taking the NFL draft, Rashad White, that was stealing carries from him. And it's very similar to UCLA's situation where the quarterback in Jaden Daniels was a dual threat quarterback like Dorian Thompson-Robinson. He is taking carries away from Daniel Nagata. So it's just a lot of different things kind of working against the carry count for Nagata. But what he did was he made the most of those amount of carries, you know, the 5.5 yards a touch last year, so to speak. So Nagata, you know, I think he's going to get a lot of carries in his own right, especially with a new quarterback coming into that room in Emory Jones. So you have that on your table. And then if you can't get it done with Nagata or Valaday, you have a four-star recruit in Tevin White that can really make some plays on the field. So Arizona State, for me, comes in at number four. I think it is a room that just has a lot of talent, a lot of versatility up and down, and a group that I think will surprise a lot of people next year in terms of the rushing production they're able to put together. Number three, and this is the Bruin Bible. I want to make sure people know that UCLA is the team that we love and support through and through. But I will say this, UCLA right now is the number three team. And if you're asking me who the best individual running back is in the Pac-12, maybe even the country when all is said and done next year, it's Zach Charbonnet. We know Charbonnet is that guy. 1,100 yards rushing last year and 13 touchdowns with a 5.7 yards per carry average. PFF ranked him the best running back within the conference last year. And he also had the most rushing attempts without a fumble, 214 last year. Also did some incredible things where, you know, the most forced missed tackles, and it wasn't even particularly close. He won that in the Pac-12 over Tavian Thomas by a double-digit amount. They call him the Terminator for a reason. Charbonnet showed some underrated aspects to his game last year. And, you know, you look at the Fresno State game, you look at LSU, he's catching passes. And a big back like that, 6'2", you know, 220-plus pounds, those are usually the guys that, you know, go up the gut with the play call, the up-the-middle running option. Not Zach Charbonnet. Charbonnet can do a little bit of everything, catch passes, run right up the middle, make plays, cut it to the outside. He has such quick feet for that size, and it allows him to accelerate and stop on a dime while also being one of the strongest players on the field. And just having a guy like Zach Charbonnet out there, it just makes it difficult for the defense. My prediction for this year is I think he's going to get to 1,500 yards rushing and close to, you know, between 15 and 18 rushing touchdowns. I think he's going to be solely in the conversation for the Doak Walker Award. But with UCLA, the presumptive number two running back, who we're very high on, Deshaun Morrell, he's never taken a carry in college yet. He's going to be a redshirt freshman this year. Everything we're hearing from spring ball is great, but I got to see some production before I'm willing to put them over the Utahs and the USCs of the conference. So Deshaun Morrell, very solid option. We got to wait and see how that pans out. You know, I like what I've seen from him on paper. I like what I've seen from him from a practice standpoint. I can't have them higher than number three, not knowing Morrell there. And we've also seen Keegan Jones. Keegan Jones, for me, is a guy that, you know, has had some opportunities. He has, you know, 41 carries to his name. Hasn't really had that, you know, consistency that we've been looking for. And I think that's a big reason why a lot of people are penciling Morrell in as the number two back going to camp. So if Charbonnet were to get injured, I just don't know what the depth is behind him, which makes the UCLA Bruins the number three team running back wise from a depth chart standpoint. But you got to feel confident with a guy like Charbonnet at the top. And I would bet in a Chip Kelly offense with Morrell or a Keegan Jones that big things are going to happen for UCLA football. Number two, and you guessed it, the top two teams are either USC or Utah, USC. This is a tough one. This is where it got incredibly difficult because both these running back rooms are absolutely stacked. You could easily make the case one way or the other for either one of these teams. And for me, the number two team was Utah. And that was with Tavian Thomas leading the way for the Utes. And this guy was an absolute monster last year. Look at the Rose Bowl tape against Ohio State, one of the most revered schools within the country. So much talent. Tavian Thomas was having himself a nice little game there. 21 total touchdowns last year. That is the most of any Power 5 running back last season as a whole, and he is coming back. PFF also graded him as having the most explosive runs, you know, per PFF within the Pac-12 at 36. There's a little stat they created, but hey, man, more explosive runs, the better. I don't care how you grade that stat. As long as it's considered in that area, that is a very good thing to be associated with having them that much. 1,108 yards, you know, that was good for third within the conference as well. So Tavian Thomas is a beast and a guy that is the classic downhill runner. If you're in the NFL, think of like a Jonathan Taylor, a Derrick Henry version of that in the Pac-12. I'm not saying he's as good as those guys. I'm just saying that's the type of ball player he is. So Tavian Thomas is your number one guy. And then to complement a Tavian Thomas, the backup form, you know, the returning Power 5 touchdown leader of last year on the ground is Micah Bernard. And Micah Bernard is just a wonderful all-purpose back. And Utah fans are incredibly excited about him. He can not only run the football, and he does it incredibly well too, 87 carries for 523 yards. That's 6 yards a carry, which is very, very high. For people that are, you know, trying to decipher what that means exactly, think of it as a batting average or a three-point percentage. The 5 yards per carry in college is almost like the 40% from three club or the 300 batting average club. So when you have that and he's at 6 yards a carry, it's like hitting a three at 43 or 44%. That's an amazing, amazing stat. So having Micah Bernard do that is incredible. But the all-purpose back is the guy that can also go out and get catches. 26 catches to Micah Bernard's name, 251 yards receiving last year. And I reflect back on the catch he made in the Rose Bowl from a pass from Cam Rising. Just an absolute dart, and Bernard had to use every ounce of his body to make that catch. Dove onto the ground, fell forward, came up with the football. It looked like Utah was going to pull it out when Bernard made that catch. Unfortunately, it did not go that way, even though, you know, our future conference mate may be Ohio State. We're not going to root for Ohio State. The Buckeyes, not a fan. But Micah Bernard, incredible, incredible performance he was able to string together to make – you know, that catch in the Rose Bowl and throughout the season, that was really the first real taste we've had of Micah Bernard. So I just think when you combine a Bernard and a Tavian Thomas, that is really, really tough to beat. So I am going to put Utah number two. And the presumptive number one team in the conference. I hate to say it, but I got to be fair. You know, with Caleb Williams, we said last week, best individual talent. You know, he didn't have a lot behind him. We had to put USC number three. With UCLA this week, we have Charbonnet as maybe the best individual talent. We got to put them at number three, as there's not a lot in the cupboard behind him as well. SC has got to be the number one team in terms of running back rooms. And it starts with just the transfers they were able to acquire with a guy like Lincoln Riley. You get Travis Dye. And Travis Dye, he has probably the best case outside of Deuce Vaughn from Kansas State of being the best all-purpose back within the country. He actually led the conference in rushing yards last year. I think a lot of people believe it was still Charbonnet. If not Charbonnet, it may have been Thomas. No, it was Travis Dye. 211 carries, 1,200-plus yards, 1,271 yards, 6 yards per carry, and 16 touchdowns on the ground. And you're looking at that, and you're going, that's damn impressive. But then you add to the fact that he had 46 catches last year as well out of the backfield. 46 catches for a lot of different wide receivers in the college game is a very, very successful year. You combine that to a running back that did that with 1,200-plus yards. That is a wild, wild stat. So Travis Dye, I think Charbonnet is going to have the better season, but you could easily make the case to me that, you know, Travis Dye is better than both Tavian Thomas and Charbonnet. I don't agree with it, but there's a case to be made there. So you have a Travis Dye there. Add a versatile fellow all-purpose back in Austin Jones, a veteran tailback who's played 3 years in the Pac-12 at Stanford, coming down to USC. He's got 67 career catches to his name. He's had some flashy plays at Stanford, a lot of speed. He's looked at as, you know, a running back that's very explosive. I think that was a phenomenal fit for USC scheme-wise with what they want to do. And the tipping point for me was they were able to add a 5-star running back from modern day, Relique Brown. And if you go and turn on the tape for this guy, I know you're going, hey, Will, you're talking about Deshaun Morrell not having experience. He hasn't played. You're talking about Byron Caldwell, the lack of numbers he's put up yet. Relique Brown doesn't have to do a lot this year because he's got those two guys in front of him. And, you know, worst case scenario, it comes down to him. Your last option is a 5-star running back, you know, going out there and making plays for USC. Things could be a lot worse, especially with the offense and coaching that Lincoln Riley brings to the table. So those are my running back rooms. I've got USC 1, Utah number 2, UCLA number 3, Arizona State number 4, and Oregon State number 5. This is Will Decker from the Bruin Bible. These rankings will keep coming. We're going to have a special guest on next week. I'm not going to tell you exactly who, but a fun one to say the least, as we're starting to break down the Pac-12 for 2022 and some of the guys we're going to have, you know, making plays and the running back rooms and quarterback rooms that are really deciding where the future's headed. Will Decker signing off from the Bruin Bible. Have a good one.